son of encouragement. And as we shall see, this was for a very good reason. So we have a picture, I think, of, there he is, Barnabas. That's only an artist's impression, of course. As we study the book of Acts, we find that Barnabas, to be a man of a tender heart, thoughtful, considerate, kind, gracious. And no wonder that John Bunyan, in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, modeled the character of Mr. Greatheart upon Barnabas, that companion, the guide, the friend of all of the weaker pilgrims on the King's Highway. So I want this morning to look at some aspects of the life of Barnabas and see what we can learn from the example of this man. Because you see, God wants each of us to have that kind of heart, that mission, that conviction as well. So if you're taking notes with me this morning, the first note is his consecration to the Lord. His consecration to the Lord. And in Acts 4 verse 37, we read, he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now this obviously and clearly was a voluntary and spontaneous act which was in accord with the general practice of the church at that time. And then in verses 34 and 35 of that chapter, we read, there were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, Barnabas, as he's called from now on, was a Jewish Hellenist from a priestly Levite family in Cyprus. John Mark, the writer of the Gospel, was his cousin. As Paul tells us in Colossians 4:10, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now, like the Macedonians of whom Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Barnabas first gave himself to the Lord and then his possessions. He sells his property and earthly home for the service of Christ. Now, we're not told where or when he became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Some scholars have speculated that it is probable, having come from Cyprus, he was present at the Feast of Pentecost and heard Peter's sermon there on the day of Pentecost, which incidentally on our church calendar today is Pentecost Sunday, when we remember when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and filled those people for the preaching of the gospel. However, although we may not know when or where, it's obvious as we see the leading part he took in the church. His spirit of generosity and integrity was in decided contrast to the deceit and conniving of Ananias and Sapphira. You will remember the story in Acts chapter 5, where they also sold their possessions, but they lied about the amount and they kept some back for themselves. And God did a drastic action against them because they had lied, as Peter told them, to the Holy Spirit. You see, possessions and one's attitude to them are always a sure test of both our character and our consecration. Barnabas was one of the first early missionaries and was himself a founder member of the church in Jerusalem. He doesn't strike us as having that brilliance or intellect as the Apostle Paul possessed, but he moves on in all the narratives as someone who first and foremost loved the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And Barnabas was someone loved and trusted. He had sympathy for those in need, and he displayed a remarkable self-sacrifice. Paul makes significant mention of the fact that he willingly impoverished himself in the interests of the church, that he was found laboring with his own hands to support himself on missionary journeys. So if you're taking notes, we see here his attitude to new converts. His attitude to new converts. And I read Acts 9:26-27. When he, that Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But who? Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So here again we meet up with Barnabas in his support and encouragement towards Saul. The church at Jerusalem was not keen to extend that right hand of fellowship to the man they regarded as an enemy and with obvious suspicion. After all, they'd only known the man as a fierce persecutor of the saints, and that he had breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Now, we cannot blame them for this cautious attitude. They were afraid of him. He had left Jerusalem as the prince of persecutors, feared and distrusted. Could this be some trap to seek out their membership and their meeting places? They could hardly believe that, as someone said, the wolf had been tamed. But it was Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who came forward and showed great kindness to Saul, although others shrank from him. With his warm report, he broke that deadlock and quickly dispelled the tension and mistrust. Barnabas introduces him to the apostles, told the story of Paul's miraculous conversion and how he had preached with power in Damascus. We cannot but admire the gracious conduct of Barnabas in sponsoring the man who in Acts 13 also had his name changed from Saul, his Jewish name, to Paul, his Greek name, the apostle. And Barnabas was quick to discern the sincerity of this new convert and ready to vouch for his new found faith in the Savior, which made it possible for his great ministry that Paul was to exercise in the gospel. How grateful Paul must have been. So we have a picture, I think, of Paul with Barnabas together. It's good to be sure, you see, of one's own faith, but it's also to be good to be an encourager of the faith of another. Augustine said, unless Stephen the martyr had prayed, Paul would not have preached. Likewise, I think it could be said that unless Barnabas had pulled back the bolts, Paul would not have had an open door for the gospel. And no one can steal that honor from him. I want to ask you a question. Do you and I encourage others? Many a wavering soul has been brought into the full fellowship of the church through a kindly and a warm word of welcome. No doubt, too, some have been turned away by the indifference or even aloofness by those who should know better. Somebody said this: how many prodigals are kept out of the kingdom by the unlovely characters of those who profess to be inside? Can I say that again? How many prodigals are kept out of the kingdom by the unlovely characters of those who profess to be inside? Oh, dear friends, if only you and I would be a Barnabas and go out and welcome those who have perhaps strayed. If you're taking notes this morning, my second note is his call as a missionary. His call as a missionary. And in Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, we read, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Here we see, if you're taking notes, his unselfishness and his humility. Because we know from Acts 11, the believers were under persecution and they had been scattered in Asia Minor. So the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to encourage them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And in verse 24, we read this of Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Although Barnabas was a senior Christian, authorized by the Mother Church and experienced in ministry, he also knew he needed a man of courage and skill in words and arguments to meet the double attack of Jews and Gentiles alike. He thought of the very man, the persecutor turned preacher, Paul. And so in Acts 11:25-26, we read, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What an example of unselfishness in Barnabas to share the ministry with this comparatively new convert, Paul. Again, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I would be more like Barnabas? Now we notice that in the early stages of their missionary journey, a subtle change takes place between these two servants of God. The senior man, probably in years as well as in Christian discipleship, had taken the leading part in their joint activities. It was Barnabas and Paul. But from Acts 13, verse 42, the order is reversed. And from now on, it's Paul and Barnabas, with one notable exception in Acts 15, the Council of Jerusalem, where Barnabas again takes the lead. Here we see such humility. As in a measure now, Paul comes to eclipse Barnabas. Paul, as we know, was greater in intellect, force of character, than his colleague and fellow worker. And what is so noticeable is that Barnabas doesn't seem to mind, and he submits to the reversal of the roles, and there's no trace of any jealousy or resentment. But he continued on in a happy fellowship and effectual cooperation. Barnabas, you see, is content now to follow Paul's lead, to support him and to take second place. You see, for him, the cause comes first. Who gets the fame and praise doesn't matter, as long as the work of the gospel progressed. And I think Barnabas is a great example of that saying, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. He was willing to step back and allow Paul to take over. Again, what a challenge for us in our lives. Not to seek fame, let us let others go before us. So if you're taking notes, we see also his limitations. His limitations. Isn't it true that in all of us there is always that damaging exception, but? He had great wisdom, but he wasn't always wise. He had much goodness, but he wasn't always good. Yes, there's always the but. They were this, that, or the other, all good qualities, but. True? Yeah. Praise God, the Bible never whitewashes its characters. The Bible tells it like it is. good and bad, achievements and failures. For example, David, the man after God's own heart, and yet caught in adultery and murder. And here, dear friends, Barnabas is no exception either. And we can take comfort in that. Though he was an outstanding Christian, yet being a fallen human just like us, he had weaknesses too. In Galatians 2:11-13 tells us that when the time when in Antioch, Paul opposed Peter to his face because of his hypocrisy. Peter had drawn back and separated from the Gentiles. In other words, he would not even eat or have fellowship with them. And then Paul says, almost with a hurt surprise, even Barnabas was led astray by this hypocrisy. No doubt Barnabas was wrong. Yet Paul gently rebukes him as he has esteem for him. You know, while we never should set a too high a standard for ourselves, we must always make allowances for others. And then in Acts 15:36-39, we're told that Paul and Barnabas agreed to revisit the churches planted on their first missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, who, as we read in Acts 13, had deserted them. In other words, Barnabas wants to give John a second chance. But Paul did not think it wise to take him. So in chapter 15, verse 39, we read, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of God. It's difficult for us to apportion blame between these two apostles, but it does go to show that they were fallen humans, just like you and me. And even saints can disagree, but we ought not ever to become disagreeable. Notice that in their parting, they didn't split the church. They didn't form another church around either of them in Antioch. Their close partnership was broken, but not their Christian fellowship. It seems Mark would have been able to develop more under the tutorage of Barnabas than under Paul. And someone once said, surprises or contentions, even in the most holiest of histories. That is so true. Think of the reformers, John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli, who had very different views on the Lord's Supper. Think of George Whitfield and John Wesley, who had very different views on Calvin and Arminius. George Whitfield was once asked, "Will you see John Wesley in heaven?" And George Whitfield said, "No." He said, "John Wesley will be so close to the throne and me so far." They had disagreed, but their fellowship in the Lord was strong. Yes, equally godly men, God uses in mighty ways. You see, it's okay to disagree, but not to become disagreeable. I love my friend Alistair Begg when he says, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the plain thing, and the plain thing is the main thing. Don't look for things that are not salvation issues and divide on those. Let us stay united on things that are salvation issues and non-negotiable. So it was with Paul and Barnabas. They departed in service, but not in friendship. In principles and practice, they were identical. And we shall never know this side of eternity how much Paul owed to Barnabas. However, from this time on, Barnabas is not named again in the book of Acts. The account does not follow Barnabas any longer. He goes back to Cyprus, his home, where he had the desire to take the gospel to his own people. And at this point, as someone said, Barnabas sails off the pages of Scripture. The Bible gives us no further information about him. From here, the book of Acts is all about Paul. But I want you to notice, the church now has two great mission projects. Before they only had one. You see, Barnabas is going in one direction to spread the gospel in Cyprus and other parts. And Paul goes in another direction, and he covers Asia Minor. Isn't it wonderful, God's plan and method? God will use both these men in their different areas of service, as he does with us all. Can you imagine what would have happened if Barnabas had turned back as well? Consider this. Humanly speaking, the early church would not have grown as fast, and half of the New Testament would not have been written without the encouragement of Barnabas on the Apostle Paul. John Mark, well, he could have disappeared from history had not Barnabas given him a second chance and enlisted him in the Lord's service. And later, as we know, John Mark writes the gospel that bears his name. In his last mention of Barnabas, Paul's words imply sympathy and respect. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, "Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living?" And Paul's last reference to John Mark is in his last letter, 2 Timothy 4:11, where he says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." So we see how they separated, but they worked together for the sake of the gospel. And what fitting tributes to the men who had lived out the practical side of the Christian faith together. Until the end, Barnabas and Paul and John Mark were united in heart as companions and co-workers with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look at the life of our Savior. How often did he look upon faulty, needy, and wayward people and was moved with compassion? And that was the dominating quality of the life of Barnabas. So finally, taking notes, our commitment to the Lord. I'm sure you know as well as I do, the world we live in can be a tough and unfriendly place. It's easy to get hurt by the many circumstances that come our way from time to time. It's easy also to be misunderstood or to be constantly put down and so become discouraged. How can you and I have a ministry of comfort and encouragement to those people? Oh, that God would make us sons and daughters of encouragement, who like Barnabas would find their chief joy in exhorting and encouraging the children of God to continue to follow him day by day. I believe that one of the greatest needs in the church today is not so much for people like the apostles Peter and Paul. Our great need is for people like Barnabas, who will be encouragers. Do you know what, dear brothers and sisters? This is what God wants for you and me in these times. We live in difficult times. People are struggling all over, economically, physically, mentally. And we, as the believers of Jesus, can go out and encourage them. Doubtless we can do this in many ways. Just think of it. ranging from the simplicity of a smile. Have you ever noticed, pass a person and smile at them, what it does to them? A warm greeting. Hello, how are you doing? A hug. A squeeze of the hand. We can patiently listen to people with empathy and encouragement. Let them tell their story. Let them share it with you. Don't be quick to give answers. Just let them talk it out. And you know, we can pray for and pray with people, giving them encouragement, as we will do later. Sometimes all that people need is someone to believe in them, to give them a chance. Some people are friendless because of some mistakes they have made in their past, and nobody seems to want them. They feel they're not worth anything. Will you let God use you to reach these people? Just think of it. Someone said, doing that has the capacity to lift a downhearted man or woman, boy or girl, to spark the flicker of a smile on the face of a discouraged child, to breathe fresh fire into the fading embers of a smoldering dream. Have you ever had a Barnabas in your life? Someone who drew alongside of you in a time of discouragement and lifted you up? Well, I have. Our senior pastor, Frank. When we arrived in the USA nearly 16 years ago now, I came to nothing. I did not know what I was going to do. The Lord had opened doors for us to come to be with our family here. I'd left a very big church in Cape Town, congregation of 3,000 people. I wasn't the senior pastor. I did what I do here, the care ministry pastor. But I came to nothing. And it seemed as if there was one church that I could work with, and I made overtures to them, but that door kind of closed in my face. And I never forget going back to where we were staying with our youngest daughter, and I felt like Hezekiah. I turned my head to the wall and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? Come all this way and I haven't got a job. And I just poured my heart to the Lord. That same week, I had a phone call from Pastor Frank. He heard I had arrived. He didn't know my situation. He said, come and have lunch with me. I don't know where you took me, Frank, but I enjoyed the meal. And then he said to me, look, Woodbridge Church is in the process of merging with the Filipino Church. He said, I know you've had lots of experience in cross-cultural ministry, both in Zimbabwe and in South Africa. And he said, will you come and help me? Well, here I am. Never went anywhere else. But this man encouraged me and got alongside of me. And in my discouragement, he lifted me up to see, yes, God had a plan and a purpose. And dear friends, I say to you with all my heart, I do what I love, and I love what I do here at Woodbridge Community Church. Thank you, Brother Frank. Maybe there's somebody in the sphere of your life today who is just ready to give up. Someone who's hurting. Maybe there's a new Christian who needs to be nurtured in spiritual matters. Maybe there's someone going to a Christless eternity and needs to hear the gospel. Dear friends, will you today commit yourself to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak through you to them? What a wonderful task to actually change the course of another person's life, or maybe their week, or even maybe their day. It's not easy, not on your life, But if you commit it to the Lord and trust in Him, you have courage so you can reach out a hand to another in need. What a great way to live. We may not be a Peter or a Paul, but dear friends, we can be all encouragers like Barnabas. Ask God to fan the Holy Spirit in you to meet needs, to befriend lonely people, to affirm the misunderstood, to develop disciples and offer second chances to people. Allow the Lord to work through you so that your faith may make feeble hearts stronger. And who knows, you may encourage a future Paul or John Mark. Few Christians have contributed more to the church than people like Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And you and I can be a Barnabas. Will you be one? If you fully commit yourself to the Lord, consecrate your life to Him, and allow the Lord to work through you. Oh, may God grant that you and me, like Barnabas, whose faith made feeble hearts grow stronger, that we will be able to do great exploits for Him in a vital ministry of the church today. Maybe only in heaven we'll find out what great things God has done through our encouraging actions and words as we've reached out to those in need. Don't forget, dear friends, behind a smiling face is often a hurting heart. Take time to find out what is that need of that person and sit and listen. We sang that hymn, My Choice, today. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Will that be your prayer today? So that the Lord can use you in the lives of others. Don't ever think you cannot be used of the Lord. He saves you for a purpose. He saves you so that you may serve Him in the lives of others. May God grant that be true of you and me today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the challenge of your servant Barnabas, for this man who put himself aside so that he could reach others. Oh, Lord, help us, each one, to look around the circle of our life, maybe in our home, our school, our college, our office. Wherever we may be, there are people out there hurting who need a word of encouragement. Oh, dear God, open our eyes to see them. Lead us to those people, and that we may be used like your servant Barnabas so long ago. And that, Father, we will not take any praise or glory, but give it all to you. We pray, Lord, for people here in this church today. Lord, you know each one's need. You know who are struggling, who are discouraged. Please, Lord, help us to reach out to them and show them your love, that they too will be encouraged. Oh, Father, help us to meet the challenge today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we thank Pastor Graham. Well done, brother.
Can we thank Pastor Graham? Well done, brother. Okay, Pastor Graham, what's the word that you always have for us in the office every week?
That's it. So I think
press on. That's it. So I think that's going to be on your gravestone. Press on. So God, can we thank him again, Pastor Graham? Thank you so much for that message. So here we are. You ready? Jesus says to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, right? Go on, press on. Here's the problem. The world's a tough place. Do I hear an amen? And for us as Christians, does that make our life easy? Is your life easy as a Christian? Yes or no? It's hard. It takes warriors to do what we do. Pastor Graham, thank you for reminding us. In the book of Acts, that beautiful person, Barnabas, who is like in the midst of all the warriors, he was the one encouraging them to keep going. Pastor Graham, you're the one for me every week. I hope you have a Barnabas in your life, someone that tells you to keep going and to press on and to keep moving forward, because life is difficult. There's always somebody that says, keep going. We need these people in our lives as Christians. Amen? This is our Jesus. The world is tough. Jesus knows that. But we're more than conquerors in Christ. But we don't do this by ourselves. We do it with each other. We do it in community. We're here as a Jesus community this Sunday morning to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We come to praise God, to thank God for last week, for the goodness of the Lord. We come to seek God and ask God of things and to pray for strength to keep going into the next week and the next day. We're going to be doing a two-song set here. I love this song. It's called The Goodness of God. I've been singing this week. I have a 97-year-old dad who fell this week, and our whole family's trying to get around my pops, and I'm driving in the car down to go see him. I'm singing this song in my car because God is good no matter what, right? God is good no matter what's going on in your life and what's happening in your life, right? We keep pressing on. The Bible says that if you need people to pray for you, to seek out the leaders of the church. The Bible says in James chapter 5 to seek out the leaders and let them pray for you and anoint you with oil. If you have financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, mental needs, emotional needs, seek out the body of Christ. Seek out the leaders of the church. Let them pray for you. And so we like to set aside, as we did last week, that if there's anybody here that maybe you came to church this morning and you're just feeling beat up. Maybe you came to church this morning, you're just feeling down. Maybe you need a fresh touch of the Spirit on your life. Maybe you came to church today and you're afraid. Maybe you had a diagnosis this week from a doctor that just scared you big time. Maybe you've lost your singing voice and you need to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name" and Jesus will just heal you. I mean, this is our God. Our God is a supernatural being. Our faith is intelligent and our faith is supernatural. So we're going to be singing two songs, and I want you just to praise God this morning. The song, The Goodness of God, just tell him how good he is. And then we're going to sing another song called Always. And if you're here today and you need prayer, then come forward and let us pray for you. Let us pray for God's Spirit to come upon you. So I'm going to ask for the leaders of the church to come up and stand here. Up in the balcony, I've got Pastor Vince, and the Chows are up there. Down here, I've got Sandra and Sunny, our missions director is there. Cinda, let's see. Look at Sandra. We need to be praying for you, Sandra. She's going to be getting a hip surgery. When?
Wednesday.
Dear Lord, we pray a blessing over Sandra in the name of Jesus. Hey, Sean, would you mind praying with some people up here in the corner too? Sean's amazing. Jen, you want to pray with him? That'd be awesome. Cool. Father, we just love you. We thank you, God, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus, we thank you that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that in the pages of this beautiful book of the book of Acts, we find this incredible person named Barnabas that just seemed to be the cheerleader of the church. Just keep going and press on and come alongside people and encourage people to keep moving with Christ. We pray for the spirit of Barnabas to fall upon this place. God, may you encourage us this morning and touch us this morning and heal us this morning and break chains in our lives this morning. We pray that you would heal bodies this morning. We pray, Lord, you would set people free this morning. God, I ask, Lord, that you would encourage people to keep going this Pentecost Sunday in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're a good God. You're a good, good God. And we love you, we trust you, we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.